to Not So Live from Asteroid G, searching for a chest of dead man's gold. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, drink up, me hearties, yo-ho, your boy Mike the Ghoul here. We're talking some pirates movies this week, right?
Won't deny I kind of want to put, like, little pirate hats on us and a parrot on a shoulder and everything for this one. It'd be fun.
We are
discussing the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. What? Okay, I say that. Really, we're discussing the first one for reasons we will get to.
Sure.
But you decided you want us to, like, go and do watch party the Pirate of the Caribbean movies, which,
yeah,
it's fair, I hadn't seen in, like, 3 or 4 years. I was like, I can get through these again, that's fine. Spoiler alert, I did not get through these again.
They start off so strong.
That first movie is so fucking good, and the rest of them aren't.
Yeah, upon rewatch, you know, like Dead Man's Chest, That World End, like, they're fun movies, they're fine,
yeah,
it ties the story in a little bow, like, whatever. You don't get the same experience you got, like, in that first movie, and not even just the presentation and the cinematography and things you just haven't seen before. Like, it was just such a better movie than all the other ones, you know?
The thing that struck me watching them again and doing them so close together, and I'm sure I've said this in my previous reviews and forgotten, but it struck me again this time, is that the first movie uses Johnny Depp's character, Captain Jack Sparrow, as an accent. He gets a lot of screen time, but he's always a co-star. He's not the lead.
Right.
I would argue he doesn't even really have much of an arc. His goal is get the ship back that was stolen from me. His end point is he gets the ship back that was stolen from him. There's no character growth. There's no change to him whatsoever. He doesn't have this shock experience that teaches him to be a better person. Like Orlando Bloom's character, whose name I can't remember, and
Will Turner.
You go. And then Keira Knightley's character, whose name is even more forgettable to me.
Elizabeth.
There you go. Thank you. Elizabeth Swan.
Yes.
See, I did watch these recently enough that the gears will turn in my head eventually.
Well, I'll get you there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, those two have the arc. Like, he's fighting for her, she's fighting for him, they're circling each other the whole time. Yeah. They're both trying to figure out that they love the other person and they love them back, and they're doing the heroic thing to save each other. That's a character arc. That's great. There's no character arcs for anyone in the second movie, and Johnny Depp takes up way too much time.
They tried to make the second movie, like, his story. You know, he supposedly dies at the end of it, and, like, you know, his friend betrays him, you know, at the end with Elizabeth and all
that.
Like,
I'll tell you right now.
I remember them.
That's
I remember them.
Fine.
So, like, I get it, but, like, there's a lot, like, to your point, like, I never thought about it that way. That's a really good way to put it. Like, Johnny Depp, Jack Sparrow is an accent in the first movie. He enhances what's already there as opposed to being the main reason why you're watching, which is a really good way of putting it, actually. That's brilliant. And there is a lot of him in the second movie, and there's not as much of him in the third because they go to rescue him in some of it and all
that. And then
that.
He takes up way too much screen real estate when he finally shows up.
Yeah. It's just, and like, the stories get more outlandish and bigger and bigger, and, like, they have to because
they set a bar. Yeah.
They set a bar, exactly. So, I mean, the first one was great. Second and third one, they're fine. It finishes the trilogy or whatever. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the first one's still the best. And then I don't really even count the fourth and fifth one as part of the same universe, but they kind of are.
Well, they are. So, the thing is, to get to Jack for a second, because he's our major focus, because he is the main character of all these movies. Like, Will and Elizabeth disappear after the third one, and they're only referenced in the fifth because their son is part of the whole thing. He's not anti-hero, because that's a different term, because he would still have an arc.
Right. I would say Barbossa is the anti-hero by the end of this.
Eventually, he grows into it, because he kind of gets a little bit of an arc throughout the, like, third movie.
Yeah.
Like, the best you can think about is, like, as a trickster, as someone who shows up to motivate plot and so forth, Jack isn't the villain, but he's definitely more of an antagonist than a protagonist. Because,
yeah, I would say, like, the Loki kind of thing.
You know?
Like, the jester, you know, that's
He pushes things forward. He's the agent of chaos that causes things to happen. He's not quite the Joker of the movie, although he kind of is as well, because Joker has no plan. Joker just does stuff. That's Jack. Jack just wants his boat back. He doesn't care how it happens. And while he doesn't really want to screw anyone over in the process if he can help it, he's not above selling everyone out at least a little just to get what he wants. So he's...
It's true.
He'd be in a different story with more heroic heroes who weren't willing to give Jack the benefit of the doubt. He'd straight up be a villain. But he just gets to be an antagonist here up against worse antagonists that definitely are the villains. Because the Pirates of the Caribbean, spoiler, it's in the title. which
22 year spoiler right here.
I gotta tell you, I know we're gonna cover it in the next podcast, but I just watched The Batman and the title comes up and it's like The Batman, and I said to my wife, spoiler, like
I thought I was here to see not The Batman. Batman,
I could have been surprised. You could have let me know like in Dusk Till Dawn, make me forget the Batman was showing up for half the movie.
Right,
I mean, and to a certain extent, the movie like slow burns its pirates here in Pirates of the Caribbean, and it really does.
Big reveal in the first one
doesn't even reveal to us that they're undead until like the halfway point, which is a great twist. And it's good, and it shows that, like, that's based on the ride, because they eventually get skeleton-y at the back half of the ride to give you some scares before you go diving off a tiny little hill on your boat. Spoilers if you haven't ridden the ride. Sorry, I've ruined it for you. But, like, all of that works, because, you know, built on the theme park, tries to use the elements, tells a whole story, gives you a 2.5-hour adventure that's actually fun to watch, and spiked by a nice accent of Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And the second movie does everything bigger. More Johnny Depp, longer runtime, worse villains, because they you could tell that they felt like they had to compete with the undead, so they did the weird fishman undead thing, and it's just not nearly as interesting.
Yeah, the CGI is very good. Like, I'll give you that. Like, Davy Jones looks good. Like, you know, some of the other ones are questionable, but they really paid attention to Davy Jones, as they kind of had to, because he, to your point, is that main antagonist in the second and third films finishing out the trilogy. So, you know, you got to take special care to your bad guy.
It's weird. Like, they really wanted to have a monster-like pirate and his monster-like crew. And some of them look interesting enough that I like. I like the ones that are, like, melded to the ship and half like barnacled, and the guys covered in barnacles and seaweed and so forth. Those ones look like guys that have been living at the bottom of the ocean for decades.
Yep.
I don't understand how a human dude like Davy Jones becomes a squid man from this, like, what magic does that? Why is there a hammerhead shark guy? Like, the second movie doesn't establish this. The third movie, I remember, doesn't establish this, even though I didn't even watch towards it on my rewatch. And it's just, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's cool looking, but nothing we know about the magic of the world from the first two movies establishes how it works.
Yeah, there's a lore and there's a thing going on, you know, the cursed treasure in the first movie.
Yeah,
and then
it makes
suddenly
sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. You know, the cursed Aztec treasure, there's a story behind it. It sticks. It works.
Yeah.
In this one, he's just a ghost man that now is just chilling. Like,
he
pops up everywhere. Like, where'd he come from?
Kind of made a deal with the water goddess, sort of.
Sea goddess.
Yeah.
Calypso,
and she sort of cursed him to the ocean, which, okay, but did she curse him to also be sashimi? Because I'm not sure about that part.
I mean, from what I remember, he does it to himself by shirking his duties that were foisted upon him by Calypso.
But why squid?
She let him hang.
Cool looking, but why? I don't see this. I think too much about this kind of thing. If you can turn someone into a fish guy, then I'm gonna want to know more about why. Especially because by the end of the movie, what Will has to take over the role for dumb reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, has to take over the role of being
always wants to have a captain.
Yeah, I know. And,
rules,
oh,
I guess.
Sure, but Calypso caused it, and they meet Calypso in the third movie. Spoiler. So she could just break her deal. She doesn't have to fucking do this shit. She could just be like, "No, it's fine now, bros. You're good. Whatever."
Yeah, and thanks for releasing me from my prison as well, because she was stuck, you know, somewhere.
Right.
But she just kind of left him hanging.
You,
and did her.
You win. We win. It's a win-win here. Why do you gotta be such a jerk about it, girl? Come on. I mean, really, nothing is really fleshed out enough in these movies for me to really understand. Not that I care, because the second and third movies are just overlong and tedious.
Well,
I was gonna watch all five of these in a row. I really was, but that first act of the second movie is so superfluous and stupid and does nothing for any of the characters. They just spend an hour of the movie with racist caricatures that don't influence the plot at all ever again.
Yeah, just an island full of cannibals that are there, and the bones are mating in the cages. Like, it's just, I don't even know what was going on. It's just weird.
They just wanted to spend time having Jack be silly, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But do it as, like, a web short. Don't make us suffer through an hour of this bullshit. It's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, they're fun movies, but the first one is always, I think the first one's special. The first one has something to it.
The fourth one, I didn't like. I think you said you liked it when you saw it before.
I liked it because you got more Barbossa, and it was a silly movie, you know, as compared to the other ones. You know, the whole Blackbeard thing and all that. Like, I mean, you're just pulling another pirate lore name out of your ass right now.
Wow, which they didn't know what to do with the series. They didn't. Yeah. They clearly didn't have a plan for the first movie to be a $1 billion success. They were like, this is based on a theme park ride. We'll make our money back. It'll be good. People will want to come to the theme park again. Everyone will like pirates. We can get another, like, 5 years of ticket sales out of that. That was all they were expecting, I'm sure. And then suddenly it became a smash success, but they used all the material for the theme park ride in the first movie. And they don't have a second theme park ride to steal from.
Yeah. The source material is not making more of it, so they had to come up with their own.
They had to come up with their own. So they do Davy Jones. Fine. Then they do Blackbeard. Okay. Then they do something else in the fifth movie that, like, involves Jack's, like, the kid and everything. I actually, going back over it in my head, I didn't like the second or third movies. I think I actually did like the fourth, despite just saying I didn't. Mm-hmm. Because it was silly, but it was also different, and at least we didn't have to suffer through Will and Elizabeth again. So it was a different plot.
Yeah.
But it's the fifth movie, as I'm getting the mix up in my head, that I didn't like, and you haven't even bothered seeing.
Yeah, and it's true. I want to, and the wife wants to, and, like, we were gonna, and then we didn't.
It introduces Will's teenage kid, and I suddenly didn't care again.
I mean, I like Javier Bardem as an actor, and I know he plays the bad guy in that movie, which is why I want to see it. And I'm going to watch it for him. I think he's one of the finest actors of our time in some of the roles he plays. So, but I mean, even that's not enough to get me to just up and watch it, because I clearly forgot. I watched the first one over again, though, because the first one's good.
Like, I knew everyone hated the fourth movie, and I'm not a huge Penelope Cruz fan, but I actually thought the fourth movie was at least different and enjoyable. Not great. But I think it even had a little bit of an arc for, like, Captain Jack in a way, and him, like, making up for some past mistake without it just feeling super tacked on. Because you know he has a history. The problem with Jack is the fact that he's basically a solved character. He's already at the end of his path. All he cares about is that he has a ship. As soon as he has a ship, he done. So, like, his plot line in the second and third movies is tacked on, because they had to retcon something, some reason for him to even exist there. And that's pretty much the same way every time. They have to find a reason for him to be in one of these movies, not because it fulfills something for him. His story's done.
Well, I mean, they changed the ride at Disney to include him. He's not going anywhere. They got to find ways to shoehorn him into these movies. And I like Johnny Depp. He's a fine actor. And I think Jack Sparrow is a fine fictional character.
It's a great performance.
But, but I mean, there's only so much of the whole, like, that you can take without it just getting a little old sometimes.
Yeah, they were going to bring in, at one point, Margot Robbie to launch a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie, but I think that's been scrapped as well. They desperately want to get another one of these off the ground, but...
It's been 2017, it's going on 8 years now.
So, I mean, like, it's time that they could do another one. I don't know that they necessarily want another one. I
don't think we need it. We've been over this, down this road before, like, do we really need another one?
Do we really need another one? What can we say about the Pirates that has not already been said? How about a robot that travels back through time to change...
And then we can, you know, he brings Sarah Connor with him or something. Let's over all factions right here. Jerry Bruckheimer putting his hand in everything. Like,
I mean, at least it'd be different.
It would be. It would be. But I mean, like, it's a fun series. It's one of those ones, like, I don't quite think it's going to fall into, like, the echelon of, like, what Star Wars has become for some of us.
No, it's not an epic like that.
I don't think it's going to get, you know, an epic. Like, and I don't think it'll be ruined at the end of the day, you know, like Star Wars has been ruined in some aspects, you know, compared to Pirates. But you can only get so much water from, you know, a fountain. You can't get blood from a stone. I think we've done our piece for this franchise. And I don't animate something. Do something animated, which we'll get into something coming up that was animated that was awesome.
Yeah, they've done everything they can with the material, that's for sure. And I think, like, if you let it sit 20 years and then do another one, you're going to have the people like, oh, I liked this as a kid. I'd watch this again now with something new.
Yeah.
I think
I'll take my kid to go see it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of I actually just wrote an article about, like, the live-action animated remakes that Disney is doing and which ones have succeeded, like Lion King and Beauty and the Beast and Lilo and Stitch have all made, like, nearly $1 billion or more. And the ones that have failed, I'm like, well, those are the ones that were based on older movies. And you can tell, like, the nostalgia's not there anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the same thing.
Snow White was in 1930.
Yeah, no, it's 90 years old. No one cares about Snow White. But, like, Little Mermaid failed. And that's, like, when you look at it, you're like, that's almost 40 years old. I think you missed the nostalgia window there.
Oh, man, 1989.
I know. Yeah, 1989. Right? We're getting there.
Goodness gracious.
I know, I'm not happy about
but
it.
But that kicked off the Disney Renaissance, though. If we didn't have Little Mermaid, we wouldn't have Pirates today. So, you know.
It's a bold claim right there, sir.
I mean, Disney was a failing name and a failing franchise. Little Mermaid saved it. And that Disney Renaissance of, like, Little Mermaid through Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, everything was gold for, like, 8 years. And that is what led them to be this mega conglomerate they are today. So, yeah, good for that.
For good and ill. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't think we need another one of these anytime soon. It's not that I'm opposed to a Margot Robbie-led one, but I'm certainly not sad that it's not happening.
Watch her in it. I mean, why not?
I mean, it'd be fun. I'm sure she'd bring some swagger to it. It'd be an enjoyable experience. Mm-hmm. I think we've done everything we can do with Captain Jack at this point. And I think, honestly, if we'd only had the one movie, it would be held as an instant classic. I think the other four movies kind of ruined its legacy.
You might be onto something there. Because, like, yes, kids love Jack Sparrow. And, yes, he's a fun character. But, like, the lore of what that character could have been if it was just, like, a single standoff movie would probably be greater than the sum of its parts today.
Yeah, no. It was milking a franchise that didn't need to be milked. And, I mean, that's also Disney's way. You can't make $1 billion without Disney going, we need more.
Yeah, I haven't seen Disney come up with an original idea in years, and it's just depressing. I liked the new Lilo and Stitch. I thought the Lilo and Stitch remake was good. And if you saw it, we can talk about that sometime, too, because I loved the first one. But never. I mean,
I've never seen them, so.
You never seen them, really?
No. But I, like, Lilo and Stitch came out just that right moment where I was, like, too teenager to feel like watching it, and then no one ever made me watch it. So, like, it was, Mulan came out in 2020. That was when I finally watched the animated version so I could compare the two. So, if it's a Disney movie past a certain point, I didn't bother. Why would I? I didn't really care about Disney again until Wreck-It Ralph because he's like just awesome, you know?
Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph's one of my favorites. But it's funny, like, same thing with me. Like, that was that Lilo and Stitch came out, and I was like, all right, Blue Alien, Disney, I'm done. I'm old enough. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
And then, like, 10 years later, you know, my wife and I were dating and everything, and we were thinking about getting married at the time, and she was like, we got to watch Lilo and Stitch. You'll love it. I'm like, this is stupid. And no, it's wonderful. Like, he's one of my favorite characters of all time. We got married. Today's our anniversary, actually. And we got married on this day because of my idea, because I was like, hey, let's do 626 because of Stitch 626, and I'll never forget our anniversary. And that is Stitch is always a part of our lives. So,
fuck you,
I'm
doing talking to me on your anniversary, dude.
She's working, dude. She's like, she's working.
Shit. Okay, well, that's on her, but still, I'm like, the hell you say?
Dude, we're married 16 years this year, man. We haven't gotten each other cards in 5 years. We're like, we want to do dinner in a couple weeks. Yeah, we'll just do that. Like,
yeah, my wife and I, we technically have two wedding anniversaries because we got married in a court for one, so we could just do something different for, like, and have a friend or someone handle the actual quote unquote ceremony. So like, we have a week between our two dates, and because of that, and it's a second marriage for both of us, we're both just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
It's
a day. We'll get to something about it sometime during the month, you know?
Exactly. And the other side of that is fine for the people that it's fine. If you need to be that person that has to be that romantic, that box of chocolates, flower, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes you're fortunate enough or unfortunate to be able to be cool. Like we got it. I got it.
Yeah.
I think I'm fortunate. Some people might not think so. And you seem to have it just as good as me. So.
Anyway, we are way off topic now. So
we are. So, yeah, but it comes back to marriage and love, though, right? Elizabeth and William.
It sold
the story, the passion.
It definitely sold itself best in the first movie. I didn't buy them as much in the sequels. I didn't care as much about anyone. I think part of the problem is the fact that it never keeps any of the three main casts together for any length of time. Like, the second, like, Will and Elizabeth are about to get together, he gets pulled away, he goes off to find Jack, he gets pulled away, Jack gets pulled away, Jack and Elizabeth meet up, they get pulled away. They're never in the same scene long enough for you to care about anyone.
Yeah, it's true. So. And, like, by the time they get married, and, like, Barbossa marries, he's like, just kiss! Like, that's, like, everybody in the theater felt that.
Yeah.
just kiss already.
Get three movies. Can we just get it over with already?
Oh, my God, yeah. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's a successful franchise. The first one is a classic movie. Great characters, great arc throughout. It's a really good story. Just very done well.
The first one's very good.
The trilogy, I guess, is fine at the end of the day. And the other two, I guess, are just there.
They're there. That's about it. Like, you only need the first one in the ride. That's where we're really at.
Yeah, it's true. And you can finish out the series. There's a trilogy. It's fine. But don't expect that feel you get from that first movie to last you. Spoilers for 22-year-old movies.
Wow. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, feeling the passing of time as if we were the undead. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to go and, you know, sail away. Come sail away with me because I just went down the River Styx, I guess. I don't know. Bye.
Wow, we're mixing albums and metaphors. We will see you all next time.